Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m.
From New York and Telluride, Colorado, this is Democracy Now!
By God, I'm moving around inside Gaza City. I haven't decided until now, but if the situation worsens, I will have to move, not by will.
Palestinians are displaced again as Israeli soldiers push deeper into Gaza City, blocking UN-led humanitarian efforts as famine spreads. This comes as President Donald Trump met Wednesday to discuss plans for a post-war Gaza with his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, whose think tank developed a post-war Gaza plan that included the creation of a, quote, Trump Riviera. This is former Middle East envoy Jared Kushner speaking just last year.
In Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable to if people would focus on kind of building up, livelihoods.
Then today marks 20 years since Hurricane Katrina roared ashore and state and federal officials left people to fight for survival in the rising floodwaters. Nearly 2,000 people died.
The calmness before a storm is deafening.
As Hurricane Katrina was approaching, we knew this was going to be a catastrophe.
I didn't want to leave because I didn't know what we was going to be coming back to. I just was praying.
We'll speak with Academy Award-nominated filmmaker Tracy A. Curry, director of the new five-part documentary series, Hurricane Katrina, Race Against Time. And finally, we'll hear from Amy Goodman about why she's at the Telluride Film Festival, a remarkable documentary on Democracy Now! And on Amy herself, premieres this Sunday afternoon at the Telluride Film Festival. The film is called Steal This Story, Please. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Israel's military has declared Gaza City a dangerous combat zone as it ramps up its offensive to seize the Gaza Strip's largest urban area. The announcement came as Israel carried out drone, artillery, and fighter jet attacks that killed at least 41 Palestinians since dawn, including children and people searching for food. Meanwhile, UNICEF warns Gaza's starvation crisis, due to Israel's blockade, is growing worse by the day, telling Al Jazeera, quote, famine is absolutely ravaging Gaza City. Thousands of the city's residents have been fleeing their homes, most of them heading towards the coast, as Israeli forces attack eastern suburbs.
What should we do? Do we stay here to die? To be broken? My two brothers died. My mother was martyred. My cousins were killed before my eyes. What should we do? We keep moving from one place to another until God above looks upon us.
Earlier today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said Israeli forces in Gaza recovered the body of Ilan Weiss, a 55-year-old Israeli abducted by Hamas in October 2023. 49 hostages remain in Gaza, at least 27 of whom are deceased, according to Israel. On Thursday, Israel's far-right Minister of Finance, Bezalel Smotrich, called for the annexation of the Gaza Strip if Hamas refuses to disarm. Hamas condemned his threat as, quote, an official call to exterminate Palestinians. Israeli forces have arrested at least 9 Palestinians in raids across the occupied West Bank. Among those detained is a school principal and the head of a village council. Separately, 2 Palestinians were shot and wounded by Israeli troops during a raid on Nablus, and a Palestinian man was shot in the feet by Israeli settlers east of Nablus. The continuing West Bank violence came as Israeli and Palestinian protesters gathered in Beit Jala for a weekly vigil, demanding an end to Israel's assault on Gaza.
We're here, Israelis and Palestinians from Combatants for Peace, in a joint vigil mourning the children of Gaza, thousands of children that have been killed. What was their crime? What did they deserve? Their futures have been stolen, and we're here to mourn them and to say no more.
More than a million people have been displaced in Pakistan after the worst flooding in more than four decades. Monsoon rain and the release of water from overflowing dams in India caused three major rivers to burst their banks, destroying crops and businesses in the region and flooding more than 1,400 villages in Punjab province. Since June, the floods have killed more than 800 people across the country in Pakistan. Thailand's Constitutional Court has removed Prime Minister Paithongtarn Shinawat from office. She was found guilty of ethics violations over a phone call to Cambodia's former leader. In a leaked recording of the call, she criticized the Thai military's conduct in clashes with Cambodia last month. Paithongtarn is the fifth Prime Minister since 2008 to be removed from office by Thailand's top court. Two Lebanese soldiers were killed and two others were injured Thursday when an Israeli drone exploded in South Lebanon. This comes as Israel attacks Lebanon almost on a daily basis, despite reaching a ceasefire agreement with Hezbollah in November. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council voted unanimously to end the UN's peacekeeping mission in Lebanon over the next 2 years. Currently, about 10,000 peacekeepers are stationed in southern Lebanon. In the past, the UN has accused Israel of firing on its peacekeepers in the region. This comes as the U.S. has been pushing for Hezbollah to disarm. Lebanon will reportedly present a plan this Sunday to encourage Hezbollah to surrender its weapons, after which Israel is expected to offer its counterproposal to withdraw from Lebanon. In Minneapolis, family members have identified the two students killed Wednesday when a shooter fired over 100 rounds through the window of a church at the Annunciation Catholic School as children and other worshippers gathered for the first Mass of the new school year. 8-year-old Fletcher Merkel loved his family, friends, and, quote, any sport he was allowed to play. And 10-year-old Harper Moisky was described as a, quote, bright, joyful, and deeply loved 10-year-old who adored her big sister. 15 other children and 3 adults were wounded in the attack. On Thursday, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, without evidence, that he was looking into psychiatric medications as a cause of mass shootings. He repeated the unsubstantiated claim in a Fox News interview.
Launching studies on the potential contribution of some of the SSRI drugs and some of the other psychiatric drugs that might be contributing to violence.
Kennedy's comments drew backlash from Democratic lawmakers. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith wrote on social media, quote, I dare you to go to Annunciation School and tell our grieving community, in effect, guns don't kill kids, antidepressants do. Just shut up. Stop peddling BS. You should be fired, Senator Smith wrote, using the expletive for BS. On Thursday, elected officials gathered at Minneapolis City Hall to demand immediate action on gun control. This is Congressmember Ilan Omar.
This is something that is simple, a simple ban to make sure people who should not have access to these weapons do not get them and then cause harm and trauma for generations to come in our communities. It is a simple ask.
Health Secretary RFK Jr. said Thursday his top deputy, Jim O'Neill, will serve as the acting head of the Centers for Disease Control after the White House abruptly fired CDC Director Susan Monares less than a month after she was confirmed by the Senate. Monares is challenging her dismissal. O'Neill is a biotech investor who's worked for the far-right billionaire Peter Thiel and has previously served as a speechwriter in the George W. Bush administration. He has no formal training in medicine. The New York Times is reporting that the Trump administration fired Monares after she declined to fire agency leaders or to accept all recommendations from a vaccine advisory panel stacked by RFK Jr. with anti-vaccine activists. Meanwhile, staff at CDC's headquarters in Atlanta staged a mass walkout Thursday to support senior officials who stepped down in protest against RFK Jr.'s actions. Infectious disease experts Dimitri Daskalakis, Daniel Jernigan, and Deborah Hoody thanked colleagues and promised to keep fighting to protect public health.
Whether it's preventing overdose, chronic disease, stopping Ebola at its source rather than let it come to this continent, you are the people that protect America.
And what makes us great at CDC is following the science. And so let's get the politics out of public health.
We need Congress to intervene. We need our appropriations. We need to follow science. We need to have ethics back.
Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cookfield filed a federal lawsuit in Washington, D.C. Thursday, challenging what she called President Trump's unprecedented and illegal attempts to fire her. The case is likely to end up at the Supreme Court. President Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, warned Thursday that Immigration and Customs Enforcement will ramp up immigration raids in Los Angeles and other sanctuary cities. Homan's threat came as the White House said it was seeking to use Naval Station Great Lakes, a U.S. military base on the outskirts of Chicago, as a staging ground for the Department of Homeland Security to carry out immigration raids. Meanwhile, the government of Rwanda said Thursday it had accepted 7 immigrants from the United States as part of a third-party deportation deal. The Trump administration is also seeking to deport people to South Sudan and Eswatini, even though they have no connection to those countries. Meanwhile, in Florida, officials are reportedly emptying an immigration detention camp in an Everglades swamp dubbed Alligator Alcatraz by Republicans after a federal judge ordered much of the facility to be closed over environmental violations. The U.S. Air Force is offering full military honors to Ashley Babbitt, the January 6th rioter who was shot by officers as she stormed the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago to protest President Trump's defeat in the 2020 election. This comes as a federal judge offered a refund to another January 6th rioter, Yvonne St. Cyr, who was ordered to pay $2,200 in restitution and fines. She had her felony conviction dropped by Trump in a blanket pardon of January 6th rioters. The Trump administration says the United States will withdraw from a UN review of its human rights record. Under the Universal Periodic Review, all 193 UN member states are required to present their human rights record for peer review every 4.5 years. This is the first time the U.S. or any other UN member has refused to participate. In a statement, the ACLU said, quote, "This move is a chilling attempt to evade accountability, setting a terrible precedent that would only embolden dictators and autocrats and dangerously weaken respect for human rights at home and abroad." Republican lawmakers in Texas have advanced a bill to expand abortion restrictions. On Thursday evening, the Texas House of Republicans voted overwhelmingly in favor of House Bill 7, which allows private citizens to sue anyone who manufactures, distributes, mails, or provides abortion medication to or from Texas. Plaintiffs winning their lawsuits would receive a cash bounty of at least $100,000. The bill now heads to Texas's Republican-controlled Senate. In a statement, the ACLU of Texas said the legislation would, quote, "fuel fear among manufacturers and providers nationwide, while encouraging neighbors to police one another's reproductive lives, further isolating pregnant Texans and punishing the people who care for them." Ahead of the Labor Day weekend, President Trump signed an executive order Thursday stripping union protections from federal employees. Under the order, several government agencies, including NASA, the National Weather Service, and the Office of the Commissioner for Patents, will end their collective bargaining agreements with unions. Trump cast his executive order as critical for protecting national security. On Thursday, members of 30 unions and organizations marched in Washington, D.C. to protest Trump's anti-worker policies. And the Reverend Al Sharpton led hundreds of demonstrators for the March on Wall Street Thursday to protest President Trump's assault on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and his attempts to control Democratic-led cities led by black mayors. New York State Assemblyman and mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani marched alongside Reverend Sharpton and Martin Luther King III. The other mayoral candidates, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Eric Adams, did not attend the march. This is Zohran Mamdani addressing the crowd in Lower Manhattan.
As we stand here in the wealthiest city, in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, as we stand here by Wall Street, where last year they had more than $40 billion in bonuses, we ask ourselves, how is it that one in four New Yorkers are still living in poverty? We ask ourselves, how is it that we have still yet to answer the question that Dr. King posed all those decades ago? Because what he said then, and what we must answer now, is what good is it to have the right to sit at a lunch counter if you can't afford to buy a hamburger?
That was Zohran Mamdani speaking at a march Thursday. When we come back, we'll get an update on President Donald Trump's meeting Wednesday to discuss plans for a post-war Gaza with his son-in-law Jared Kushner and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, whose think tank developed a post-war Gaza plan that included the creation of a Trump Riviera. Back in a minute. Ntirini by the Malian singer Fatoumata Diawara, performed in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Nermeen Sheikh in New York, joined by Amy Goodman in Telluride, Colorado. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Nermeen, and welcome to our listeners, viewers, and readers around the country and around the world. Yes, this is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. Across Gaza, Israeli attacks killed at least 41 Palestinians since dawn today, including three people seeking aid in the so-called safe zone of Al-Mawasi. This comes as the Israeli army said today it will end a daily tactical pause in Gaza City that it announced last month for humanitarian purposes, saying the city now, quote, constitutes a dangerous combat zone. This is Mohammed Al-Adam, a displaced Palestinian in Gaza City.
What should we do? Do we stay here to die, to be broken? My two brothers died. My mother was martyred. My cousins were killed before my eyes. What should we do? We keep moving from one place to another until God above looks upon us.
As Israel pushes deeper into Gaza City, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres called its expanded military operation to seize area a new and dangerous phase.
Unbelievably, civilians are facing yet another deadly escalation. Israel's initial steps to military takeover Gaza City signals a new and dangerous phase. Expanded military operations in Gaza City will have devastating consequences. Hundreds of thousands of civilians, already exhausted and traumatized, would be forced to flee yet again, plunging families into even deeper peril. This must stop.
As aid groups warn famine is absolutely ravaging Gaza City, Guterres said Israel is continuing to block UN-led humanitarian efforts and called the famine a, quote, result of deliberate decisions that defy basic humanity. This comes as President Trump met Wednesday to discuss plans for a post-war Gaza with his son-in-law and former Middle East envoy Jared Kushner and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Blair stepped down as prime minister in 2007 and went on to serve as UN Middle East envoy until 2015. Last month, it was reported that staff members of his think tank, the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change, had joined Israeli business leaders in developing a post-war Gaza plan that included the creation of a Trump Riviera and a manufacturing zone named after Elon Musk, using financial models developed by the U.S. firm Boston Consulting Group. Meanwhile, Jared Kushner has previously praised Gaza's potentially, quote, very valuable waterfront property. In February, Trump called for a U.S. takeover of Gaza and shared an AI-generated video depicting the territory as a luxury beach resort called Trump Gaza.
Donald is coming to set you free, bringing the light for all to see. No more tunnels, no more fear. Trump Gaza is finally here. Trump Gaza shining bright, golden future, a brand new life.
Well, for more, we're joined in London by Josh Paul, a veteran State Department official who worked on arms deals and resigned in protest of the push to increase arms sales to Israel amid its assault on Gaza. He's a former director in the Bureau of Political Military Affairs in the State Department, where he worked for 11 years. He's now a director at a new policy, the lobbying organization he co-founded with fellow resignee Tariq Habash, to press for a change in U.S. policy on Palestine and Israel. Josh Paul also worked with Tony Blair when Blair was Quartet Special Envoy for Middle East Peace, and Paul was an advisor for the U.S. Security Coordinator. Josh Paul, welcome back to Democracy Now! So if you could comment on this meeting that took place earlier this week between Trump, Blair, and Jared Kushner, and to what extent, in fact, it echoes what Kushner had said earlier this last year and Trump said earlier this year about converting Gaza into a Riviera and essentially expelling all Palestinians from the territory.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. Look, at the end of the day, this is a nightmarish example of profits over people. What you have with Kushner and Blair is a combination of the corrupt and the feckless. And I say that having worked with Tony Blair, as you say, when he was Quartet Special Advisor, and seen how he prioritised pie-in-the-sky economic programmes over the real political progress that needs to be made to allow any sort of Palestinian economic development and reconstruction. Worse than that, they are intimately tied into this Gaza Riviera project, which, you know, is reliant ultimately on the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. And that's the reason that the Boston Consulting Group, which had played a part in developing it, not only withdrew from the project, but fired some of the consultants who had been involved, precisely because there is no way to advance this project without violating international law. So it is a deeply concerning development, and I think shows the continuing path that Israel and other partners of its in the Middle East, other corporate partners, and certainly Mr. Kushner and Blair are trying to take Gaza on. It's a dark path.
Axios is reporting, Josh, that the White House envoy, Steve Witkoff, has been collaborating with Kushner and Blair for months. I mean, if you could talk about this vision of a day after. I mean, you also worked with Blair. You have a sense of what they're doing. I mean, Jared Kushner, we haven't heard his name in a while as he works on these global development projects where he and Ivanka Trump are making enormous sums of money from Albania to other places. Going back to that sort of famous moment when he talked about, Gaza being a valuable piece of real estate and this whole repeated issue of, you know, Trump's Riviera.
So I think for some people, and I include Mr. Kushner among these, everything is about money. Tony Blair and Jared Kushner have played a continuing role in pursuing the economic lane of the Abraham Accords, the effort to normalize Israel's relationships with other countries in the Middle East. Which, of course, have come at the expense of the Palestinians and greatly led us to where we are now. It was not long after October 2023 that Jared Kushner sprung up and started talking about building seafront apartments in Gaza. Of course, this is at the same time that the Israelis are decimating the Gaza Strip, that the UN has declared a famine, We're talking about a development project in which apartments would essentially be built on the graveyard of Palestinians. That is just an unconscionable approach, but it does fit in with the long-term pattern. And when it comes to Tony Blair, my own experience was that he pursues policies that are simply disconnected from the realities on the ground. When I worked with him in the West Bank, he sat in his five-star hotel in Jerusalem, in the German colony, and dictated economic fantasies that went nowhere because there was no political resolution, because Israel would nickel and dime each proposal to death. It was death by a thousand cuts when it came to the implementation. But Blair was fundamentally unwilling to face this reality, tied in as he is to the senior leadership in Israel and across the region. And so this is, first of all, and most importantly, a distraction from the very real, very urgent humanitarian crisis right now that demands that we do all we can to get Israel to lift its blockade on humanitarian assistance and let the United Nations and other humanitarian agencies do their job. But it is also a very cynical effort to exploit incredible suffering for economic gain.
Josh Paul, I want to get your response to the news that broke Thursday. A former U.S. National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, now saying he would support Congress voting to withhold military aid to Israel. This is Jake Sullivan speaking to the Bulwark podcast.
The situation as it stands today, following the breakdown of the ceasefire in March, means that a vote to withhold weapons from Israel is a totally credible position. That is a position that I would support.
So that was Jake Sullivan. Meanwhile, the State Department spokesperson under former President Biden, Matt Miller, admitted in May he believes Israel committed war crimes in Gaza, a reversal coming after more than a year as the face of the Biden administration's foreign policy, repeatedly defending Israel against allegations of war crimes and genocide. This was Miller speaking in April of last year.
We have been very clear that we want to see Israel do everything it can to minimize civilian casualties. We have made clear that they need to do operate at all times in full compliance with international humanitarian law. At the same time, we are committed to Israel's right to self-defense.
But during an interview with Sky News in June, Matt Miller said he believed Israel did commit war crimes in Gaza and that Israeli soldiers are not being held accountable.
I don't think it's a genocide, but I think I think it is without a doubt true that Israel has committed war crimes.
You wouldn't have said that at the podium.
Yeah, look, because when you're at the podium, you're not expressing your personal opinion. You're expressing the conclusions of the United States government.
So, Josh Paul, you are a veteran State Department official. If you can first respond to these revelations or this reversal of the former U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan under Biden, someone you worked with very closely.
So what I would say is, first of all, look, it's never too late for genuine contrition, but that's not what this is. Mr. Sullivan is reading the tea leaves, seeing the remarkable shift in American public opinion, and so particularly in Democratic politics, and he and others are trying to shift in order to continue to secure for themselves the sinecures, the influence, and potentially the roles in future administrations that they desire. But the problem here is that while the situation is worse now than it has been, the facts are not new, Israel's approach are not new. 15 of us resigned during the course of the Biden administration, resigned publicly because, and precisely because, people like Mr. Sullivan would not listen to those facts and, in fact, did all they could to subvert an honest approach to this crisis. And so I think that it is, you know, a reflection of the changing American politics that they are shifting their perspectives, but they remain unmoored in any sort of moral grounding here. And I think there has to be some form of accountability in terms of the future careers of these people.
And Josh Paul, I'd just like to go back to the meeting that occurred earlier this week. In addition to Blair and Kushner, Axios, the same article that Amy referred to, also reported the presence of an unexpected third, namely high-ranking Israeli official Ron Dermer, whose input Trump reportedly requested. He apparently said that Israel does not want to occupy Gaza for good and does not seek the expulsion of Palestinians. I mean, Dermer is an extremely senior official in Netanyahu's government. He's Minister of Strategic Affairs, has been since 2022, and is now the head of negotiations for the release of the hostages. So